welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at The Score, and today's episode is presented by Subway, who now delivers so you can get back to the game. We're coming off one of the more bizarre weeks in fantasy memory. Aaron Rodgers goes into a game, has a beat-up wide receiver core, turns in one of the best performances of his career. Tons of backups were just out there stealing production this week. I mean, Evan Ingram, who had one of the most mouth-watering matchups for any tight end, going against that Cardinals defense, who haven't been able to stop a single tight end this year. Ingram ends up with just one catch, 6 yards. His backup, Rhett Ellison, ends up with 33 yards, gets the touchdown there. Just some very unlikely results, but this is a game of probabilities, and every once in a while, that roulette wheel is going to land on double zero, right? So you can't let that throw you off course. You got to just keep making smart decisions. Let that carry you to the wins most weeks. Maybe it didn't happen this week, but most weeks it does result in wins for you. And on that note, I want to keep up with what we've been doing recently on these Monday shows. So going over some of the buy low, sell high candidates, then doing our usual rundown of the injuries and the waiver wire pickups, all that great stuff. Actionable information. That's what you want. That's how you're going to improve your team. That's how you're going to make the playoff push. Before we get to that, though, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you're using. And while you're there, go check out some of the other awesome shows we have on the Score Podcast Network. We have Expand the Zone. That's our baseball show. They're all over the World Series this time of year. Or Pound the Rock. They're getting you ready for the NBA season as well. There's a bunch of great shows in there. You should definitely go check them out. All right, buy low, sell high time. I got a couple guys that I want to double down on here. I'll start with Keenan Allen. He was on the list last week. I know it's been bad since Melvin Gordon came back. I know that Hunter Henry being there complicates things the last couple weeks, really throws off the target share numbers. But the real problem here is the offensive line. That's what is the biggest issue with that Chargers offense right now. So there's at least a little bit of hope with Russell Okung coming back. He didn't play this week, but he probably should be in the lineup next week. And Allen leads the league in air yards. So it's not like he's not getting the opportunities. We know the talent's there. And he only had 4 catches for 61 yards this week, but he did see double-digit targets. That was the first time that he's seen double-digit targets since week 3. So see what you can get for him right now. He's going to turn it around, folks. Now is the time to buy low on him. I also want to talk about Devin Singletary, who I mentioned last week. He didn't do much against the Dolphins, but I mentioned that that was a possibility. The Bills overall looked pretty sluggish in that game. They were coming off their bye, maybe played down to their competition a little bit there. But Singletary played on just 39% of the snaps in that one. And I had talked about going into the game that there was really no reason for Buffalo to rush him back into a major workload. It was a very winnable game. They were like 17-point favorites in that one. It didn't turn out that way, but they ended up getting the win there. But they didn't really need him to come in and play a big portion of the snaps. But last time he was fully healthy, that was back in week 1, he played on 70% of the snaps in that game. So I expect his playing time is going to increase here. He's got another tough matchup against the Eagles too. But after that, 6 matchups with teams that are in the bottom half of the league against running backs. So Singletary, somebody that you definitely want for that stretch run. Maybe next week that buy low window will still be there because Philly's a pretty tough matchup for running backs normally, but might be the last chances that you have here over the next couple weeks to get him for the second half of the season. Patrick Mahomes is another guy. Now, this is approaching it from a different angle. Might be tough to get Mahomes from his owner. Everybody loves having Patrick Mahomes on their fantasy team. But with this injury now that he has, he's going to be out for a little bit here. If you're in a redraft league, maybe that Mahomes owner doesn't have a great record. Maybe they can't wait until he's healthy. Maybe you can get him off of them now. If you're sitting at 5-2 or better with your record, you should be looking at the playoffs at this point, trying to set your roster up for that stretch of the season. Maybe you can make a move on him, stash him for the postseason. Same idea with Alvin Kamara. See if his owner needs to win now. Maybe you can scoop him up. I know there's talk that maybe he'll come back this week, but with him and Breeze, it's a similar situation where if they keep these guys out one more week, they have a week 9 bye, so then they should probably have them both healthy for that stretch from week 10 on. I think that would be the smart move for the Saints, so I don't know that Kamara is going to play this week, but if his owner is struggling, that would be an opportunity to try to get him on the cheap. Carson Wentz coming off a really bad performance in week 7. And the primetime boost is real. Whether it's a good game or a bad game, people are watching those games more closely. And if the Wentz owner is dismayed by just how bad things looked in that one, and they looked really bad against the Cowboys, the fact that they have the Bills, the Bears coming up the next 2 weeks, then they have a bye after that, maybe that owner wants to move on from Wentz, and they have an excellent schedule in the very end of the season when you're talking about week 12 on. They get Seattle, Miami, the Giants, and Washington over that stretch. So that is a time when you're going to want Wentz. If you can grab him now, maybe stream for a couple weeks until he gets to that stretch of his schedule. It'd be a smart move if his owner is looking to get rid of him right now. For sell high candidates, let's start with the Cardinals running backs. It might be hard to get rid of David Johnson at this point. Depends on what his injury status is. We don't really know what the situation is there. We just know that they're bringing in Jay Ajayi and they're bringing in Spencer Ware, a couple other backs there, because they have some injuries, not just David Johnson, but DJ Foster also hurting. But having those guys come in, the veteran type guys like that, it's not looking good for David Johnson playing this week. Maybe he'll be out for a couple weeks here. So Chase Edmonds is the guy that maybe you can move right now. He's coming off that monster game, 150 yards from scrimmage, 3 touchdowns, just a prime candidate to be dealt. That is going to be the peak of his year for sure. And the Cardinals' next 4 games is really the reason why you want to look to get off of this Cardinals backfield. They get the Saints, the 49ers, the Buccaneers, and then the 49ers again. Those are some of the toughest matchups for running backs in fantasy. And then after that, they have a bye. So that's really 5 weeks where you're not going to feel that confident about playing any Cardinals running back, depending on the severity of that DJ injury. I mean, he might be back at some point in the coming weeks here, unless it turns out to be season ending. But based on that schedule, I'd be looking to sell Edmonds right now at his absolute peak. I'd say Joe Mixon is another sell too. In half point PPR leagues right now, he's only broken double digit fantasy points twice this year. No rushing touchdowns on the season. Offensive line just destroying his fantasy value. If you can still sell him high on his name value alone, maybe to an RB needy team out there, I'd be doing it. There's also a bunch of wide receivers with name value who are coming off just monster weeks. They're likely to go back to being more inconsistent moving forward. Marvin Jones had that 4-touchdown game, just 93 yards and 4 touchdowns though. Marcus Valdes-Scantling, he had 133 yards and a touchdown on just 2 catches in that one. Cash in on those guys now. See if you can get increased value after those big performances, because it's not going to get any better than that. I also would have said Kerryon Johnson here just based on his late season schedule. The Lions face the Bears, the Vikings, the Bucks run defenses. That's all from week 13 to week 15. But his injury prevents any legitimate trades from going down this week. And that's going to bring us to the injury section here. We got to go over them. Let's start with Kerryon. So he left that game with a knee injury, only played 11 snaps in that one, and then he was seen with a brace on the sidelines. Right now, we don't have any idea on the severity, but Ty Johnson came on. He played the bulk of the snaps after Kerryon left. JD McKissic was also mixing in on some passing downs there, but they also grabbed Trey Carson off waivers from the Packers after they released him. They also have Paul Perkins on the team. So there's some other options there as well. But Ty Johnson's going to get the first crack at this if Kerryon's going to miss any time. And it's a great matchup next week. The Lions get that Giants defense. We just talked about it. Chase Edmonds went off against them, had that monster game. So very nice matchup there. Ty Johnson's going to be one of the top waiver wire adds this week. Adam Thielen, hamstring injury. Made a beautiful touchdown catch, 25-yard touchdown. It was his only catch of the day, but you could tell right away he was in some pain after that, sort of limped off the field with help of trainers. But initially, he claimed that he'd be good to go for Thursday. Players are always overly optimistic, but today's update is that the injury is going to keep him on the sidelines for Thursday. And it's a really nice matchup, too. They get Washington in that one, little Kirk Cousins revenge game. Actually, it's a really big revenge game across the board, because that game has not just Kirk Cousins going against Washington, but also has Case Keenum and Adrian Peterson going back against the Vikings. So if Thielen misses, seems like he's going to, Stephon Diggs becomes a solid high-end wide receiver 2, maybe even a wide receiver 1. Olabisi Johnson's the guy that started getting more work after Thielen went out, but not somebody I'd be looking to start or even roster in anything outside of really deep leagues. And I would expect in this one, we're going to have a lot of Dalvin Cook, a lot of Alexander Mattison. Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith Jr., I think there's almost a better chance that they get the tight ends more involved than other receivers on that roster like Laquon Treadwell or even Olabisi Johnson get more work in that one. Fortunately, it doesn't seem like Thielen's going to be out long, though, so that's good news. Matt Ryan sprained his ankle in the fourth quarter, limped to the locker room, was having a pretty tough day before that. The Rams defense really had them locked down. Ryan went 16 for 27, 159 yards and a pick in that game before leaving. We'll find out more about the injury today. The latest is that it's, quote, manageable. So maybe he'll try to play through it this week. After that, though, they get a bye in week 9. So this Seahawks game, there's a chance we might see Matt Schaub play in that game, which is terrible news, a massive downgrade for any Falcons fantasy asset for sure. With their season basically lost, though, is there really a reason to rush Matt Ryan back for this game? I don't think so. The only guy that actually seemed to get more work once Matt Schaub came in was Austin Hooper. He wasn't doing much in that game. And then Matt Schaub came in, ended up having 4 catches in the game, scored a touchdown there as well. So maybe Hooper will be able to maintain his value. He's been fantastic this year for fantasy. Ito Smith was also carted off in that game, had head and neck injuries. It's believed to just be a stinger, though, so that would be best case scenario at this point. We'd give him a shot to maybe even potentially play next week. If he's out, though, Brian Hill's the next man up as the Freeman handcuff, but not really exciting. I mean, Freeman's dominating the work there, and the run game just isn't producing for the Falcons this season at all. David Johnson, who we talked about a bit earlier, is a sell candidate. By all accounts, he didn't re-injure himself in the game. That's what they were trying to tell us after the game anyway. Coaches said that that was the plan, to limit him in this game. But with how good Edmonds played, we might see them play it really safe with Johnson here. They're also working out those guys like we talked about earlier. So that's another bad sign for Johnson's availability coming up. Either way, very worried about that Cardinals backfield just because of those matchups that I talked about. Will Fuller, like Thielen earlier, Fuller also suffered a hamstring injury early in the game, wasn't able to get back in that one. He's dealt with some soft tissue injuries throughout his career, and Ian Rappaport is reporting that this is a serious one, so I'd expect him to miss at least a couple weeks, if not more. That makes Kenny Stills very interesting as a pickup. Stills played a 92% of the snaps after Fuller left, because Fuller played just 3 snaps in that game, but Stills caught 4 balls, 105 yards. That's why they got him in the trade. He was kind of a throw-in, but they wanted a receiver around that point. And now we know why. Fuller just keeps getting hurt, keeps suffering these types of injuries. And Stills is more than capable of filling in that exact Fuller role. Kiki Cutie also saw more playing time, played 69% of the snaps. I'd be grabbing both these guys. You want exposure to Deshaun Watson and that Texans offense, especially with the Raiders on tap. Aaron Rodgers just showed exactly what you can do to Oakland through the air there. So you're going to want to pick up both those guys this week. Delanie Walker came into the game with an ankle injury, came out of the game in the first half. Jonnu Smith ended up getting more involved. Walker's also coming back from that broken ankle last year. So more ankle problems, not what you want to see there. Really concerning. Put Smith on the radar as a potential pickup this week. Some other injuries that popped up. Let's go through a couple quick. Saquon Barkley actually left the game very briefly. Looked like maybe he re-injured that ankle, but he was able to play through it. He came back into the game. The 49ers, Marquise Goodwin, Matt Breida, they both passed concussion protocol during the game there. Breida was very banged up in that one. Hopefully nothing that's going to cause problems for him moving forward here. Some pre-existing injuries that we got to keep monitoring. Jared Cook missed the week with that ankle issue. Drew Brees and the thumb, talked a little bit about that earlier. Could practice this week, but seems like week 10 is more likely for his return. Tyrell Williams, plantar fasciitis, could be a problem. Might even force the Raiders to go out and trade for a wide receiver in the next couple weeks. Sterling Shepard with 2 concussions already this year. Have to think the Giants are going to be very, very careful bringing him back. DeSean Jackson. Now, there's been a lot of reports. He's dealing with that sports hernia injury, nearing a return, and there's been a lot of talk. Doug Peterson kind of alluded to the fact that Jackson might not even be 100% at any point when he comes back here, but he could definitely give them something. Even an 80% Jackson is going to be able to make a catch like the one that Nelson Aguilar sort of short-armed and didn't even try for, it seemed, in that game. It was very strange downfield there. But he seems like he's close to getting back. He's somebody that I want on my team for the stretch run. In one league where he got dropped, I went out, I bid 20% or so of my fab budget just to get him, because late in the season, they have a fantastic schedule, like I talked about with Wentz there. So you want to get guys like that on your roster, somebody like Jackson who can put up those week winning performances in good matchups there. Marquise Brown also still out, hasn't practiced. Hopefully we get him back after the Ravens bye, which is this week. And Christian Kirk with that ankle, they're playing it very, very safe with him. Also seems to be close though. Think he'll probably be back next Sunday. And then we want to be thorough here. Just a couple injuries to keep an eye on for teams that are coming off bye. Cam Newton could practice this week. Should get a better idea of his timetable moving forward. I know some people are talking like Kyle Allen might remain the starter there. I highly doubt that. Once Newton's healthy, he's going to be back on the field. James Conner suffered a quad injury. That kept him out in the fourth quarter before their bye. He's also had ankle issues. He's also had a knee issue a few weeks back. So it's expected that this quad issue is mild and he should be able to go for this really enticing matchup with Miami. But Mike Tomlin said before their bye that Connor would be limited in practice once they came back from the bye week. So grabbing a guy like Benny Snell right now, not a bad idea. You could probably get him on the cheap. People aren't really talking about this Connor injury because there's a good chance that he's going to play this week. But go grab Snell. Throw him on the end of your bench early in the week until we see some practice participation reports, and then we can go from there. Which brings us to the waiver wire. Remember, if you want to see the full breakdown of all the waiver wire options, you can check that out on The Score on Monday night. I normally go over 40, 50, sometimes even 60 potential players because it's just a blanket thing. We want to cover as many possible leagues as we can here. So let's go over some of the most notable names here on the pod. And we'll start at quarterback. Couple guys are owned in around 60% of leagues, so I won't write them up this week. Kirk Cousins, 64%, he gets Washington. Matt Stafford, 57%, he gets the Giants. Those are probably your top two streamer options this week. For actual guys that are going to be available in a lot of leagues that you could play this week, Sam Darnold, 34% at Jacksonville. We're going to see what happens on Monday night. This pod obviously coming out Monday afternoon, but Darnold's about to go on a tear here. Even if he has a tough game against the Patriots on Monday night, which most quarterbacks do, you're still going to want to play Darnold next week. Mason Rudolph as well. He's only 6% owned, but he's going up against Miami. And Miami is like a cheat code for fantasy. They're giving up the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Rudolph can get it done there. Teddy Bridgewater, 16% owned against the Cardinals. Multiple touchdowns in three of his five starts. Had a solid game against the Bears, which is not an easy matchup. Arizona, much, much easier to go up against. So you can confidently use Teddy this week. A couple other guys that are decent options. Gardner Minshew against the Jets. Jacoby Brissett against Denver. A little bit tougher there, but all guys that you can use. I'll mention a few more in that column as well. At running back, guys that are around 60% owned that you're going to want to go pick up if they're out there. Adrian Peterson right on that 60% mark. And Jamal Williams as well. Peterson, they are going to feed him the ball. Doesn't matter who they're going up against. It's going to lead to some tough games for sure. Some really low stat lines if he doesn't find the end zone. But he's going to get the volume, so somebody that needs to be owned. And Jamal Williams is going to continue to be involved. Aaron Jones is for sure the number one running back in Green Bay. But Jamal Williams has a role there. He's going to be a flex option. Chase Edmonds. Now, what a game he had. We've mentioned it already. I think in every section we've talked about it on the podcast today. Remember that upcoming schedule, though. So it's great to see. Hopefully you had him in your lineup this week, but moving forward, it's going to be tougher sledding. Ty Johnson, just 2% owned. He flashed at times during the preseason and seemed to be the reason why the Lions were comfortable just moving on from CJ Anderson earlier this year. Now is going to be his time to shine if Kerryon sidelined. Mark Walton, I don't really want to invest in the Dolphins backfield, but I have to mention him because he's getting the most opportunity right now in Miami. So if you're desperate, he's in play for the Dolphins there. After that, there's not really anyone that you're going to be overly excited to put into your lineup this week. I mean, it's going to be more handcuff type guys, right? Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson, Alexander Mattison, Tony Pollard. I keep bringing these names up every single week because they shouldn't be out there in as many leagues as they are right now. They should be on your bench just in case an injury happens like Kerryon or like DJ. You want to have those guys so you don't have to fight for them on the waiver wire with all the other owners in your league. At wide receiver, a few of the guys that are around that 60% ownership mark that should be owned everywhere, DK Metcalf, Jamison Crowder, DeSean Jackson as well. You want to go out and get those guys if they're available. Kenny Stills and Kiki Cutie. Those are two guys that I am going to be trying to get everywhere I can this week. Stills has 85 yards or a touchdown in three of his five games that he suited up for the Texans. Cutie has 70 yards in two of his last three games. You want pieces of explosive passing offenses, and Watson makes this one of the most dangerous ones in the league. Want to go out and get those guys. Philip Dorsett, he's missed the last couple games heading into this Monday nighter, but assuming he plays, assuming he avoids any sort of setback, he's a name to target with Josh Gordon banged up. Dorsett's going to be the second best pass-catching option in that New England receiving core, should be owned. Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. Ryan Tannehill wasn't outstanding, but he helped stabilize that passing attack at least for 1 week. Davis and Brown both posted solid games in that one. Davis had 6 for 80 and a touchdown. Brown had 6 for 64. The big thing here is their next matchup, which is against the Bucs. Just one of the worst pass defenses in the league. So you can fire those guys up again. Just know that the quarterback play in Tennessee is likely to remain inconsistent. It's going to continue to be a problem. So there's added risk there. Don't fall in love with Ryan Tannehill after one outing. Preston Williams, Devontae Parker, 12% owned for Williams, 14% for Parker. Both of them actually put up decent days against the tough Bills pass defense. So it's kind of surprising to see. Parker got the touchdown to go with 5 catches, 55 yards. But Williams had 6 for 82. He didn't have the touchdown, and unfortunately he fumbled, which kind of bumped his fantasy points down a little bit. But on the season, Williams has 23 receptions, 314 yards, and a single score. Parker has 18, 284, and 3 trips to the end zone. Both these guys, they're going to be usable. They're going to be really volatile wide receiver fours in that range, but they have some upside. Williams remains my pick if you have to pick between the two, and it probably would help them at this point if Fitzpatrick stays under center, but who knows what the Dolphins are going to do. They'll probably flip-flop every single week just to try to keep losing games here. Auden Tate, 38% owned. Really like what we're seeing from him. Since week three, he's played over 90% of the snaps. He has stat lines of 6 for 88, 4 for 50, 3 for 26 and 1, 5 for 91, and 3 for 65. So 50 yards or a touchdown in every single game those weeks. AJ Green isn't going to be back for at least a few more weeks, and there's a real possibility that he could potentially get traded. The team's acting like they won't, but he might get moved before the deadline. So until he gets back, Tate continues to be a fringe wide receiver three right around that range. There's definitely a few other names, some guys that had big weeks like Zach Pascal, Alex Erickson for the Bengals. Deontay Johnson's probably out there in a lot of leagues after his bye, and he gets Miami. So there's a bunch of other names that I will have in the column you can go check out there tonight. And for tight ends, let's talk about some of the 60% owned guys. Gerald Everett, he's way up there at 72%, but he might still be out there in your league. He's really coming on. Somebody's going to be a top 10 guy the rest of the year. Jared Cook, 57% owned. Somebody that missed this week. That's probably why his ownership's down a little bit, but with Breeze coming back healthy, all the reasons that we're excited about Cook will come back around. I'd be looking to get him if you can. Chris Herndon, I've talked about him probably every single week this season. I know he's still hurt. He's doubtful Monday night, probably not going to play. But moving forward, just 29% owned and gives you potential to have a top 10 fantasy tight end the rest of the way. Tough to find that out in the waiver wire, so you want to get him. Vance McDonald, matchup-based one here. He hasn't done much this season, but he gets Miami this week. Eric Ebron keeps getting it done just by finding the end zone. What a fantastic touchdown catch he had. They had to overturn it, but he did get his feet in. Great grab at the back of the end zone. He's 52% owned, but he's a guy that you can throw out there and just hope for that touchdown score. And Jonnu Smith, if Delanie Walker is going to miss any time, if Tannehill can help that passing game even a little bit, just a little more consistency is what we need there, then Jonnu Smith is going to be on our radar. And Dallas Goedert, the one thing I like about Goedert, not only did he have a decent game on a night when it seemed like every Eagles player disappointed us, but Goedert, just 13% owned, and also has some upside because if you're rostering him, if you're playing him as a streamer, and if Zach Ertz gets hurt, Dallas Goedert would immediately be in the conversation as a top 5, top 7 tight end the rest of the way. And I want to see what Ben Watson does in this Monday nighter if he's active. He's coming back, joining the Patriots again here. We'll see if he can put up anything in fantasy because they need more pass-catching weapons. Tom Brady needs somebody to throw the ball to. Maybe Watson could do it, even at his age. That is all for today's show. For the full breakdown of the Week 8 waiver wire options, go check out that column on The Score on Monday night. Make sure you subscribe to the alerts in the NFL Fantasy News section on The Score app. Make sure you're following me on Twitter, at Justin Boone. Big thanks to the chaos that was Week 7 in the fantasy schedule. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby, said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. I said leave on time.